Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And on this eve of Christmas Eve, we are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, perhaps an issue in life that you're facing, call now, 1-800-677-9377. We'd love to discuss it with you. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom in Christ and freedom in life in Jesus Christ. And we invite you to stay tuned and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to take a few minutes today just to look at the story of Christmas as Luke recorded it in the second chapter of his gospel. I love how he tells this story. He peppers it with all kinds of significant historical facts, doesn't he, Richard?
Yeah.
It starts out with, in those days, Caesar Augustus. Everybody knows Caesar Augustus, right? And you can read about him in all sorts of other extra-biblical texts and history books. And then he talks about Quirinius. And why does he do that? Why does he pepper the telling of this with all these interesting facts?
He was trying to demonstrate to his readers, to his friend, Theophilus, that this story that was being told, this gospel that was being told and taught around the Roman Empire, was absolutely true. It was verifiable in as much as anything could ever be verified. Just a little aside, this Quirinius guy, people used to go, just pulling a name out of your hat. Well, until they found an inscription on one of the cities that this guy was the governor at that time. Luke knew what he was talking about. He researched this. He found out the information, and he puts the Jesus story in the context of its historical information, and it's a wonderful story.
One of the criticisms of Christianity, and you see it with the new atheists that are out there and some of these other folks that are really hammering Christianity hard, is that this story is replicated in other places. You know, it's Zeus had a son, and then this Mithras had a son, and, you know, it really parallels what this story is all about. What's the difference?
The difference is that all of those stories, and they happen around the world, all people groups. Everybody everywhere has had this kind of a story, a flood story, a law story, all of them. Difference here is this is the real guy. This is the real Jesus. This is God in the flesh come to save us from our sins and to bring eternal life in his resurrection. Everybody else created a God in their own image.
Yeah, Zeus is nothing.
Yeah, he's kind of the worst of all Greeks, you know. Jesus was in God's image made into humanity, completely different direction. And that's the unique part of the story. The other part of the story is Jesus made claims that no one else in the history of ever has made.
Absolutely. Well, he goes on and talks a little bit more about this, the fact that Joseph and Mary went down to Bethlehem, or actually they went up to Bethlehem from the Sea of Galilee. I always found that interesting.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute, don't they see that on the map? They're going,
down. South, yes.
They're going down. Well, they're actually talking about elevation. They're going from, you know, below sea level around the Sea of Galilee up to about 3,000 feet in elevation. So they were actually going up.
Yes.
And so they're very accurate there. But they find a place and, they have Jesus, and they wrap him in swaddling clothes, and they place him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And then there's these shepherds, and they're out just doing their thing, you know, guarding their flocks at night. And an angel appears to these guys. And boy, that'd just scare the weebie-jeebies right out of you. But the angel said, you know, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy. That's what this gospel story is. It's good news of great joy. It's supposed to make us rejoice, you know, in the very depths of who we are. And here it is. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is God's good news to mankind. He is what we need. He is who we need in our lives. One, to save us from our sins, but also to come and live inside of us. That is the gospel story. It's Jesus from beginning to end. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born, which should bring joy to your hearts. And if it doesn't bring joy to your hearts, you're not hearing this gospel story the way it's meant to be delivered. And I hope you will open up your hearts and open up your ears and hear this good news and rejoice in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, plenty of open lines and time on the clock, friends. 1-800-677-9377. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. We thank you for joining us. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for taking my phone call. Hope you guys are doing well today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you're doing well as also. We're doing fantastic, I think.
All right. That's great. I got a couple of questions. I've been a Christian for a little while, and it just... I got a question about spiritual growth as we advance in the gospel. For me, and I could be totally off base, but for me, sometimes it feels like as I advance more into the word that I also become, you know, more spiritually attacked. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, are Christians walking around with a target on their back? And I have one more question, and then I'll hang up and let you guys tackle that. Also, my second question is, and I don't mean to ask this, but I'm just kind of want to know from your perspective, both of you guys, do babies go to hell? And I would appreciate if you answer both of those questions, and I'll get off of here so you can do that. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Matt. Thanks for your call today. And as far as spiritual growth, that's a process. We're all involved in that, growing in grace, growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. But as we grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, I think we become more aware of the reality that is this world of ours. I think we see that it is more anti-God, anti-Christ than we ever dreamed possible. That they're aggressively, the world is aggressive against Christianity. I think we see our own sinfulness even more. And that's why the grace of God becomes more precious to us over time. You know, when we first respond, we don't know the real nature of our sinfulness, the real nature of our problem. We get glimpses of it. We have clues as to the fact that something's wrong. And that compels us to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. But then as we grow, we just see how much we need a Savior.
Yes.
And so we become more aware of that. And I think that's where all of this spiritual battle takes place.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's an indicator of the strength of God's grace that he, you know, we talk about discernment, and that's really what you're talking about. You see yourself truly. You see the world truly. God doesn't give us that discernment all at once. It would be crushing. Instead, as he changes us from the inside out, little by little, we begin to see more of him and less of ourselves. We see ourselves more honestly. We see the world more honestly. And rather than scaring us, it makes us weep. And I think that's what he's talking about. I mean, do you have a target on your back? In a sense, but you don't have to worry about that. Walk by faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus and let him continue to grow you as he's going to do.
Right.
Because he will finish it.
Yeah. And every writer of the New Testament talks about this spiritual battle.
Yes. You know,
Paul talks about it in almost every single letter that he wrote. Peter talks about the suffering that we're going to go through as believers in Christ. Mm-hmm. James talks about that. The writer of Hebrews talks about that. So it is just par for the course as far as Christians are concerned. Living in this world of darkness, we're going to encounter all sorts of persecution and trials and tribulations. That's just the nature. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. That's our victory. Christ Jesus alive, living in us.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the babies are concerned, That's you know, one of those questions that we all raise, and you know, what happens if we're all born into this world dead spiritually, sinners by nature? What happens when a baby dies? Do they, you know, just carry on the destiny that they came into the world with? Or does God show mercy to them? Is there any particular passage that talks about that?
No, there is not. Babies are just not talked about in that sense. Passages that do come to mind, however, Romans. God is both just and the justifier. I'm willing to leave it in his hands on the basis of that statement alone. But there are so many others about his graciousness, his fairness, his desire that no one should perish. I'm going to let him make that decision.
Absolutely. And you know it's going to be a just decision.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be the right decision.
That's right. And mercy and love and all of that will be kind of the deciding factor, I think, as far as God is concerned, just as it is for everything.
Yes.
So I think we can entrust that to him.
Yeah.
So, Matt, thank you. Good question today.
Yes, indeed. And, friends, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Time on the clock. The lines are open for you right now. So if you call now, you will get through. 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel, and we await your calls. 1-800-677-9377. Question from Janie, who lives in Lexington, Kentucky. She says, we are taught that when we die, our souls go to heaven, but our earthly bodies stay in the grave or are cremated or destroyed or so forth. But Jesus' earthly body did not stay in the grave. The tomb was empty. I've always wondered about this discrepancy, she says, between what happens to our bodies and what happened to his. Thank you for your answer on that one.
Well, his body did go into a grave. It went into a borrowed tomb. They laid it there on a stone, and his head was at one end, feet at the other, and you know, they had prepared his body, as was the custom back then. And that body came out of the grave, but it wasn't the same body.
Yes,
it had been changed, radically changed. The mortal had put on immortality. The perishable had put on imperishable. That's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the question. What kind of body is it going to be? Well, it's going to be a spiritual body. And, you know, this old thing that's dying, that's going to be changed in an instant, and it's going to be something completely different. That is the hope of the resurrection. And just as Jesus was raised physically, we're going to be raised physically as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. A reminder also, we have this little booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life, and it's yours available to you for a gift of any amount. All you need to do to get your copy is go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the front page, basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours. That number again, 1-800-727-2828. And request your copy of Forgiveness, the Door to Life. Make your contribution to the ongoing support of Basic Gospel.
We've gotten a lot of great comments on this particular booklet. I've heard many people saying, hey, I'm buying it in quantity to pass out to my friends, because this is such a critical issue. This forgiveness issue is such a critical issue. We all sin. We all wonder, what am I supposed to do once I've sinned? Well, this booklet answers that question in such a wonderful, practical way that you will be saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you accomplished for me through your death on the cross. And we definitely want to put this in your hands. And I guarantee you, once you read it, 10, 15, 20 other people will come to mind who you will want to pass it out to. So
absolutely,
take advantage of this.
Yeah, again, you can find your copy by with a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel at basicgospel.net, or on the phone by 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to El Paso, Texas, and talk with Jose, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Jose.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your show. My question has to do with the New Jerusalem. In Revelation tells us that, first of all, the Lord mentioned in one of the Gospels that he goes to prepare a place for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. And then in the New Jerusalem, we see the New Jerusalem coming out of heaven after the new heaven and the new earth. And it talks about how the New Jerusalem is made with all the precious stones and the gold and all of that. I'm thinking, well, is it a spiritual Jerusalem, or are we the new Jerusalem? Because we are the church. We are vessels to contain God, and we are being polished to be those stones from which the new Jerusalem is going to be. So anyway, Mike, I'm kind of confused there. Is it a spiritual Jerusalem, or are we the new Jerusalem?
Well, Jose, I think we are that new Jerusalem. I mean, we are the dwelling place of God. And I think you're right on the mark when you're saying that we are living stones, precious in God's sight, and that we are being built up as this new dwelling place of God. So I think you're on to something there, Jose. I think you are reading correctly what the Word of God is talking about. But as this dwelling place, we're going to make up a place. I mean, we are going to have a physicality to us, and it is going to be a place. We just happen to be, you know, a part of it, and described as that, as a corporate body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Does that make sense to you, Jose?
So then it's like it will be a physical Jerusalem, even though we'll have spiritual bodies?
Well, it's a heavenly city that's going to come down to earth. We're going to have spiritual bodies, but those spiritual bodies are going to have a physicality to it. I mean, yes. Jesus's body, he said, touch. I mean, put your hands in the piercings, feel that. He ate, you know, he cooked the fish and he ate with the disciples. So we're going to be physical creatures, but with a spiritual nature. I mean, everything's going to be different, but somewhat the same, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, but that brings another question as far as how does God relate to time? Is he in eternity? Is he in time? That brings up another that question. So God is no longer outside the realm of time. He is in time now. When he partook of you know, physical being, when he was incarnated, he stepped into time, and he will be then in time in eternity future. Am I reading this correctly?
Well, I think the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, they're going to be not necessarily bound by time. As Jesus said, I am. The name of God was I am. He's always eternally present. And somehow we're going to experience that. So we're not going to think about past. We're not going to think about future. It's just all going to be right now. And that's a little bit beyond what our minds can fully comprehend at this particular point in time. But we will figure that out when we go to be with him and all of this takes place.
It's a lot food for thought, because then there's going to be no tense, as far as we know, the present tense and the past tense and the future. It's all going to be just one block of time.
Just going to be present. It's just going to be present. It's just, let me give you this. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul gives the definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. And he lists out 15 different things. All of those words are not adjectives, they're actually verbs, and they're present tense verbs. God's love is happening right now. God is loving us right now. That's the way it's always going to be. And while we are here, God is constantly moving in us to just think about the here and now. I can't trust him in the future. The future isn't here. I can't trust him in the past. That's gone. I only can trust him now. I can only receive his love now. And he wants to give us a taste of that, because that's what it's going to be like when we're with him forever. We're just going to be always in the present. And I think that's great news. But Jose, I appreciate your questions. Boy, you're digging, yes, and you're reading, and God is putting some things together in your mind in a really wonderful way, and my hat's off to you, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you.
You too. You hang on. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life. You hold on.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Well, let's quickly go to Cottage Grove, Oregon, and talk with Troy, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Troy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, you had a call earlier about what happens to babies when they die. And I was going to point out Dr. MacArthur has done a full study on that. And you can get the book from him through Grace to You Ministries. It's on the Internet, GTY, Grace to You. And it's very enlightening on what does really happen to children when they die.
Well, thank you for that. What does he say? What's the conclusion? Don't leave us hanging.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, according to the verses that he runs through, children go straight to the presence of God.
Well, that's what I believe as well, Troy. And I think the Word of God indicates that. There's some passages in Zechariah that talk about the streets of heaven being filled with children. And there's just numerous passages that you know, have children in it. But there's not a single passage that says this is exactly what they're going to happen, that's going to happen. But I think based on the very nature of God, the fact that He is love, we can count on that. We can count on children when they are absent from the body, they're going to be present with the Lord.
Yes, I agree that 100%. And I think Dr. MacArthur makes it 100% clear through the Bible teachings, Scripture, that is in fact what is going to happen. And his book is very in-depth on that.
Well, Troy, thanks for mentioning that. We sure appreciate it. And we sure appreciate you jumping on board with us today.
Have a wonderful day and Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Hey, to you as well, Troy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, I think that's a great comment that Troy is making. And like I said, when you know God, when you know what he is like, when you know that he's just and the justifier, when you know that he is love, when you know that he is grace and mercy and all of those things, it's just the most logical thing to conclude that when a little baby, if he dies, he's going to go straight to be with the Lord. I think that's just the way it is.
Well, it's a privilege for us to be here day after day to address questions like these and many others. And some are of a more theological bent, some are very practical and life issues. And so we appreciate the opportunity to minister into all of your lives. And friends, as we approach Christmas and the end of the year, it's down to crunch time for Basic Gospel to meet the needs we budgeted for in order to bring this message of love, life, and freedom in Jesus Christ into your life each day. We love being here for you. We love being here with you. We love telling of the fullness of God's love for each of us. And it's a privilege to be proclaiming Him to you. If you agree that this message is vital to the body of Christ in your area, and if what you hear every day on this program is beneficial to you, well, we need your help to keep the good news coming. We believe it's the most important message on the airwaves today. That's why we are here every day, and I have to believe it's why you listen as often as you can. But as you well know, it requires financial resources to remain on the air. In fact, we need to see something like an additional $240,000 by the end of this month. And we know that many of you can step up with a significant Christmas time or year-end gift to help meet that need. $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000 or more. Every gift, no matter how large or how small, helps. Can we count on you to help keep the good news coming? We need your support. We need it right now before the clock strikes midnight on the 31st. Please join with us in the celebration of Christmas with a gift today. Whatever you can do, we need you to stand with us today. Give what you can, and may God bless you and your gift to Basic Gospel. As a reminder, the booklet we've been talking about, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. You can do that and speak with our operator right now. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net for the booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, yours for gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. We're closing in on year end, friends, and now is the time that we really, really need your help. So thanks for your consideration and your prayerful support of this ministry. So for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Christmas Eve edition of Basic Gospel. And Merry Christmas, everybody.